When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up? What a Wednesday. It's Rumor Innuendo, and I am Dominic D'Angelo of Ad Free Shows and sescoops.com. And as usual, I'm here with Robert Karpolis, WCreative_ish. Robert, are you ready for some Dynamite tonight?
I am so excited for Dynamite tonight. They never miss, and I'm reading literally the name of this episode. It says Omega has a big announcement. I have no idea what you're talking about, dude. I'm kind of excited. I looked over the run sheet. I don't remember seeing anything about an Omega big announcement. But, hey, we're going to talk about it. We're going to dive deeper into the Ric Flair Pizzagate. And what else we got on tap, Mr. D'Angelo?
We got plenty on tap here. Let's see what I put down.
It's reading comprehension time.
We got Chris Jericho talking about the learning tree and his reasonings behind it. And then Drew McIntyre and CM Punk teasing for a match at a certain event. We'll close that out with that. But let's start off, Robert.
They're going to face off at a CW event?
Yes. Billy and the
NWA. Great.
We got AEW Dynamite tonight.
Well, first, we got to say hi to some of the folks joining us live. Oh, yes. Thank you to all you joining us live on YouTube, X, or wherever you consume this show. Jim Broderick. Good afternoon to the dynamic duo of YouTube. Ooh, wow. Nice. You're definitely Robin. Antonio Santos says, happy Wednesday, fellas. It's a good day to call someone a certain clock, according to Ric Flair. Joseph Wade Walters, morning, my dudes. And Dre Owens hypothesizing the big announcement is Kenny Omega being drafted to Collision.
Purgatory?
Yeah, I wouldn't even want Kenny to. I don't think Cornette would want that to happen to Kenny. Jeez. That's how rough it is over on Saturday.
Jeepers. Well, hopefully Wednesday won't be too rough because we do have Dynamite on tap. And there is a big announcement from EVP Kenny Omega. It's an important announcement. Robert, what do you think it is?
They're going to air the footage of Ric Flair in the pizzeria.
Okay.
They're the only thing Tony has left in his bag of tricks is hidden camera footage of talent getting in fights elsewhere. That's got to be it, right?
You know, is it that he's going to get surgery for diverticulitis? Is it that he's going to power through and actually fight? What? I don't know. I don't think he's going to be an authority figure on there moving forward, but.
Regardless of the company, I never like when it's this employee power struggle nonsense. Yeah. WCW is guilty of doing this a lot with who is in charge and who's actually owning the company and who the EVPs or whatever are. In AEW world, they've so firmly established that Tony Khan is sort of the final arbiter of things. That when you start getting into the minutiae of what the EVPs do versus what they don't do, it's all diminished returns. I wish in wrestling, Dom, they create some sort of artificial symbol of who the top guy is, who the best guy is, some sort of maybe something they could wear, a sash, a tiara, maybe something to hold up their pants, a headband, like your stupid headband. Yes. Something like that to be like, this is what we want to go after in order to show who's the best, not we're going to talk about corporate power struggles. I work in corporate America. You know what the least interesting thing to talk about is? Boardroom politics. And like WWE was always guilty of this, where it's like Linda has her voting percentages and Shane and Stephanie have bought this. And then when they made Ric Flair a consortium and he just yells, "The consortium is me." And when we were in law school learning about consortiums, all I kept wanting to do was scream that out loud. But they would have forcibly removed me like I was in a pizzeria.
Okay. Well, you know, the authority figure, the power struggle, all that stuff is all, why we have stuff to kind of signify what we want with the athletes in the ring. So I don't know if we necessarily need a power struggle in behind the scenes or anything like that. And so hopefully it doesn't lean to that. Hopefully it'll be more something with Kenny Omega being back in action or on his way to getting back there at some point or another. But we'll see.
Guys, the big question for Dynamite, will it be 3 weeks in a row of a tummy punch?
I know. They got to keep it going.
It's the greatest streak. All due respect to Bill Goldberg, who does not seem to respect AEW. I will credit Tony for that, because that was on our run sheet a couple weeks ago. So I never really got to it, that Goldberg was critical of Dynamite, and then Tony pulling the ultimate petty card of like, well, you weren't critical when you were calling me for a job.
Man.
It's so salty, like a topping on a Ric Flair pizza. So there's an important announcement tonight. I don't know if it's going to be, hey, I'm cleared. I don't think we've seen anything one way or the other about what his medical condition is, or that he will be cleared in time for Double or Nothing. In which case, do you hotshot and rush Omega Okada? Or do you have a six-man with Kenny and FTR against the Elite?
I think you should do it. To what we've been saying about AEW is, like, if Kenny's coming back and he's ready to wrestle, he's okay and healthy enough to do that, you put him right there with Okada, because I think you want to establish Okada as that big star, because we've talked about it several times how he's already lost in the shuffle, it feels like. And if you put them in a position of prominence where it's just a singles match, it makes more sense, I think, for both those guys.
My concern with the singles match is there is no higher bar in 2024 at this point than Omega Okada. You know, they have
more 730. So Danielson and Ospreay, though?
Well, they do, because every time Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada have faced each other, it's been like, you know, a 7-star Meltzer instant classic. Once in a generation, you're never going to see this again kind of thing. Uh-huh. And if they try to do this match as Kenny's first match back after being out for a couple months, and it's missing a step, it's not as good, it's all diminished returns. And they paid so much money for Okada, you cannot risk disrupting that. So I wouldn't mind a 6-man tag, maybe an 8-man tag. I have not been shy about the fact that I think one of the big missed opportunities in all of this, in all seriousness and in all genuineness, is when Tony got attacked, and we've talked about how important this company is supposed to be to all these people, the guy who is the most, the best example of why AEW exists is Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston went from working outdoor indie shows, the Cornette outdoor indie, mud show kind of thing. And he was put on national television. He was given an opportunity. He was given a contract. He's got action figures. He's got merchandise. He's in a video game. I think he's in the game. He should be the one that's like, how dare you guys try to screw up what's putting money on in my wallet, food on my plate. I'm going to kill you guys. And people are going to believe that, because that dude is the Mick Foley of AEW. Make it an 8-man. Put Jack Perry in there and cover up a little bit of, let's see how Kenny's doing before he's back in there full time. But, you know, what the hell do I know, Dom? What else is there lined up for Dynamite?
Well, I think you should get prepared to sit under the learning tree of Chris Jericho, because him and Big Bill will be in action. And so that's something to look out for.
I'll get my pen for the NDA.
We have Orange Cassidy taking on Trent Beretta, which I would think would be more of a Double or Nothing match with how they've been kind of positioning that.
Wait, they're giving away that match already?
That's what it says on the rundown. Wow. Here. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of surprising. And then we have Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage going face-to-face.
We're going through the rundown. It's like the fourth most important thing is the showdown with the number one contender and the champion. The reason why they're going to try to draw people in is the big Kenny Omega announcement. The big story going into Double or Nothing is going to be what's going to happen with the Elite and Tony and the future of the power struggle. And it further diminishes the importance of the AEW world title. Christian being the number one contender, and I love Christian, but him being the number one contender is already a signifier of this is a placeholder. Mm-hmm. This is not to put them really in the same league, but you think back to Royal Rumble years ago, Brock Lesnar versus Hardcore Holly.
Right.
No one thinks Christian's going to win the title and be the central focus of Dynamite going forward, but it sure as hell doesn't feel like Swerve is the central focus right now. It feels a lot, unfortunately, like CM Punk's first title run in the WWE and how marginalized and misused he was. And another guy who knows what that feels like would be Chris Jericho. And when Jericho first became the undisputed champion, he was not the central focus of the company. He was just a guy who was carrying around two titles. So they really need to be very, very careful about how they handle Swerve in the weeks and months ahead, because you have a chance to make him the central focus of your show. Ken pointed out here that Rey Mysterio was crapped on. Yeah, I was there when Rey got the Eddie dead guy push, is what they, you know, people have kind of callously called it for a while. But that was because Vince did not have faith in Rey Mysterio at his size unless he was just constantly winning by flukes. At any chance you could beat him in a non-title match, you would. There's no reason for Tony not to have complete full faith and confidence in Swerve Strickland. Guy can cut a promo. Guy can work in the ring. He's got a great look. He's a mainstream star. We'll see.
I don't think, and you know what? There was some embers of promise there, because Swerve ended up talking about that power struggle a little bit on the show previous week. So hopefully they continue with that momentum. If they implement him that and keep him in that, like, kind of like a fringe piece of that element, then you have Christian Cage coming into play with all this stuff. You can make this placeholder match still very intriguing. You think about what Cody and AJ just did at Backlash and things like that. So, I mean, you got to position it the right way, though, and that's a key component to this. Also,
Cody and AJ, a good example of, we knew that that wasn't going to wind up being the signature match, but look at how much better AJ is coming out of that match than he was going in. You kind of, you know, remind me when Swerve brought up the power struggle and he called out the Young Bucks, the guy they decide to give the title shot to is someone who's not even in the Elite.
Right.
And I know there are people out there, defenders of AEW, Scott Chaplin, who like to argue, Scott Chaplin, that the idea is that the Young Bucks are cowards, Scott Chaplin. But the problem with that argument, Scott Chaplin, is that it's incredibly stupid if they are your top heel faction and they're all chicken, I don't think we can say the word, you know what I'm saying, heels. Yeah. It's really, really tough. So it doesn't make a ton of sense, and it doesn't feel like Christian is earnestly the number one contender. But can you imagine if they really decided to go with Christian in the Elite and he starts talking to Tony about when Shad came out and that look of concern, and, you know, from a caring father to a caring father, Shad, maybe you need to intervene and you need to take this away from your boy and you need to just let the Bucks run this and keep him home for his own safety. There you go.
Wow.
That's all you need.
That's it. I think you nailed it.
God damn. Now I'm giving away ideas for free. This now, you know what? Now I'm never going to get a chance to work with Billy Corgan and the NWA booking all kinds of fantastic cocaine and a pole spots. There's still other matches on. How long is Dynamite this week? Is it like,
I know, right?
So I'm genuinely asking, because last week I got like bluffed when I didn't realize that Rampage took place after Dynamite and my DVR did not catch it outside of like the little 5 minute overrun there. But this is not another 3 hour situation, is it?
No, I don't think so. At least I don't think so.
Cause it looks like, according to your notes, and your notes are copious and they are tremendous, we're getting Adam Copeland against Brody King, Mariah May against Harley Cameron, and a Serena Deeb promo.
Right. Copeland continues the trend about going against the House of Black members. Almost kind of feels like MJF, Cody Rhodes, kind of situation, or Bryan Danielson situation where Cody or Bryan had to fight to get to MJF. This kind of feels like it's going to just be him and Malakai Black. Do you think that's a good way to handle this program with Adam Copeland, is have him go up against the soldiers of Malakai and then eventually get Malakai at Double or Nothing?
It's a default that Tony likes to go to, where there's a stable and you have to work through each guy like you're playing a video game. We saw it with the Inner Circle. You said we saw it with MJF and the Pinnacle. It's not a bad booking decision per se. What's really impressive is those Copeland matches we've gotten involving the House of Black have been excellent. I think the six-man tag at the pay-per-view over-delivered to what people expected. His match with Buddy Matthews, Buddy Murphy, I don't know which one it is, how we go to this play here, but that was really great. Brody King is a world-class talent. I love Brody. He's a great guy. He's genuinely massive.
I think he's a Penguins fan, too.
I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, no, I know he is. I've talked to him about his Penguin fandom. But we're going to get a great match tonight, and I hope they give it some time, and I hope there's some consequences to it. It just feels like this Malakai Black Adam Copeland feud exists in a vacuum, independent of everything else going on. And like a lot of what you see in AEW, I hope there's more follow through. I hope we see where this goes and it evolves and it continues. Some of these stories, they happen and then they just sort of drop off a cliff. It's also weird, is looking at your notes, this is the second week in a row. Doesn't look like there's any Will Ospreay being advertised.
It's a great point. Yeah, it's a really great point. Yeah, what is it? I mean, he's celebrating his 31st birthday yesterday. So, and he called himself Grizzled. That's a little low up, premature, I would say.
You know what? He may be Grizzled, but he's a hell of a performer. And guys, if you're feeling Grizzled, but you know that you are an Ospreay level performer, let's talk to you about Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, bruv. Look, we know that Will Ospreay is a hell of a performer, even as he gets older, and you may be feeling the same way. Blue Chew is going to give you that little extra confidence because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Thank you, Blue Chew. Ric Flair was not very thankful for Paisanos.
Oh, man. Sorry, that was crazy. The thing I didn't get a chance to tell yesterday about Ric Flair, which was fantastic, was it was No Mercy 2005.
Okay.
We did a bit where he won the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
He grabs a bunch of women from the crowd to go celebrate, to go bring these girls in the back, which there's a whole other story about all this. And then the gag was that when he gets him in the limo and then he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a container with blue pills, not Blue Chew, mind you, because Blue Chew wasn't a thing back then. He would have gone Blue Chew, other kind of blue pills. And we told him they were a gimmick. They're not real. And he's like, I ain't doing it unless you get me the real stuff. So we had removed the real pills from there and put dummy pills in because we were concerned that for his heart, able to have this. This is 2005. And he's like, if I don't get it, I'm not doing it. So I was put in this position of, do I kill Ric Flair? And we gave him the legitimate V, the not Blue Chew. And he survived. And he lived long enough to have a heart attack last year during his last match. And we lived long enough to get the footage of this pizza incident. We kind of prayed for it yesterday, Dom, and the wrestling gods were smiling.
What'd you think of that there, Robert?
So if you haven't seen the footage, there's two elements going. There's three elements going on here.
Yeah, there's
number
several.
One, Nature Boy Ric Flair, all-time great. Everybody yes. loves him.
I love Flair.
He voluntarily talked about this incident on social media. Mm-hmm. He brought attention to this. So you're thinking, man, they must have genuinely aggrieved this guy. They must have done some horrible things to the Nature Boy Ric Flair. It's now come out. He went into the restroom. There was a stall. He was waiting to, you know, do his business. And he sees a guy in there using the facilities, texting on his phone. And I guess Rick felt the guy was not, getting it. He was giving him his time cue, and the guy wasn't listening because he's like, hey, I'm in here. I'm not finishing up. And Flair cuts a promo on this guy. And then it becomes a thing in the restaurant. And then there's footage of Flair arguing with the manager in a manner in which you hypothetically, theoretically, rumor and innuendo, not that I'm implying anything, seems as though the Nature Boy may have enjoyed a few spiked Woo Energy beverages. This was not a smooth promo from Nate, and you don't want to say drunken embarrassment because that's just mean and wrong, but you can watch the footage for yourself and that may come across. My favorite part of this footage is him trying to convince the waitress to give herself $1,000 tip. He's like, I want you to write yourself $1,000 tip if you're going to tell this manager to kiss your ass. It's so bizarre. And then, as if this couldn't get bad enough, Mr. D'Angelo.
Yes.
There's a dude sitting at the bar. And Flair's berating the manager. And he starts doing the, like, you're cool, you're cool, yes. F you, you're cool.
Oh,
and then the... Dom! Jeez!
I couldn't help myself.
I'm going to have to rip Flair at you at this point, dude. And then the dude just is like, you know, they can't fight you because they're working. I'll fight you. If they can sign that guy and we can get random pizza shop guy versus Ric Flair at Double or Nothing, that may be the Kenny Omega big announcement. Because between the manager and that random dude, they seem a lot more intimidating than the Young Bucks.
Well, you know what? You can't also forget the end of the video where the guy holding the camera or is beside the person holding the camera is asking for little swizzly straws, like after the fact.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And what'll be interesting to see is I don't think AEW has said anything about this.
No.
And he's a big sponsor. You know, he was part of Flair's part of Sting's retirement. You're going to have those Woo Energy drinks there. I get that it's Flair being Flair. I think we all remember when Flair had the road rage incident and Edge dressed up as Flair and they filmed the video of it. It'd be great if they could do that again, but there's no payoff. There's no payoff, though. Kudos to the Nature Boy who said the following. There's a number of quotes, but my favorite quote that he said to the Gainesville Sun, which, look, if you're in Gainesville, Florida, guys, your chances are you were reading the Independent Florida Alligator and not the Gainesville Sun. But that being said, Flair said, I have the money to buy the restaurant. It'll be called Ric Flair Italian Bistro. If that happens, Dom, I will be the first customer there. I will get in my car. I will drive up.
I'll be happy to make the logo.
Yes, Dom will make the logo. It's not quite Woo Wings, which is a legitimate thing, guys.
Yes.
It's not quite. Remember when Flair tried to start his own crypto?
No.
Oh, yeah. There was some kind of Ric Flair crypto thing that he tried to do. Obviously, there's the energy drink that, crazy enough, in a pre-Dominic D'Angelo world, in rumor and innuendo world, we tried to get Woo Energy drink to drink on the show for like a Woo Wednesday, and we could not find it anywhere.
Really?
There was like, yes, it was unavailable anywhere here. You had to have it shipped. You had to buy like a case of it, and apparently it's like mushroom based, which is strange. That's where we're at with that. But, let's move on to a happier, less embarrassing topic like arbitration.
Arbitration. What a heartwarming topic that is. WWE is apparently going to file arbitration with Vince and John Laurinaitis. In a new filing, it's revealed that WWE will align with both men as their efforts to compel arbitration. WWE also anticipates filing a motion to compel arbitration and stay this action pending arbitration, which removes any doubt of all three defendants will be moving to compel arbitration. Robert, arbitration, what do you think?
Keep it behind. The only way to keep this thing more anonymous is if they did it during Rampage. By the way, someone's asking in the chat. Yes, we are actually live right now.
Oh yeah,
but yes, it's not a gimmick. No, this we're actually sitting here live talking about arbitration. Obviously, WWE going to join in that because everybody wants this behind closed doors. Everybody wants this thing settled and gone. Janelle Grant's attorney will do everything they can to get this into the open. And then I think the other piece of this, I'm just kind of strategizing here, is that they want other folks to come out of the woodwork and say, you know, hey, here's what happened to me. And I know Tony Khan has done the Harvey Weinstein comparison. The only tangible comparison here is when the first Harvey Weinstein accusation came out, a number of other people came out, and that was where Me Too came from, this idea of this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me. So the more salacious stories that come out about what happened, the more they're saying here was the bad behavior of Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis and the entire company. The hope is that more people will come out and say this happened to me, and it's going to give more credence to these claims. We'll see what happens. I think it's tough. It's a very difficult situation, and it's one that if arbitration winds up happening, we just might not hear what ultimately occurs.
Right. So it's wild to think about, you know. Wild to think about, you know. You think about the Rita Chatterton stuff back in the 80s, and then now with this, and where's it going to go? Where's it going to go?
Yes. To that end, there's a fantastic book. It's behind me. It's called Ringmaster by Abraham Josie Reisman, who gets into the Rita stuff, the Ring Boy scandal, the case and the steroid trial. It's one of the most comprehensive books ever written about Vince McMahon. This is not an ad, by the way. This is just me genuinely saying it's a truly remarkable book, and it's worth reading just to get a better, smarter understanding of the wrestling world. It gets into some of the Jimmy Snuka stuff. There's a lot of interviews. It gets into Vince's childhood, which I don't know how, you know, aware you are of his childhood. There's a lot to unpack. And I know Netflix right now has that baby reindeer show, which is, I made the mistake of watching that in a night, and yikes. But I know they've got the Vince McMahon thing that they're working on. The Vince stuff may wind up blowing baby reindeer out the water, guys, in terms of the overall ick factor. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
We got 3 minutes left. There's several stories you got there. We're not talking about the Jericho Learning Tree story you have here, so we can get to the other one.
All right, let's talk about Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. It looks like they're laying the groundwork for it happening in Glasgow, Scotland, at Clash at the Castle. Punk on Raw said, "I'm going to find you. If you make me go to Glasgow, Scotland, I'm going to be hiding in a bowl of haggis, and I'm going to pop out, and I'm going to break your face." And then Drew, on social media later on, said, "I heard what you said. If you actually turn up to Glasgow, you're not going to leave in one piece." So, Robert, it seems like we kept thinking, oh, he's going to be in a world title picture for this, but it looks more like him and CM Punk is going to pay off there.
Yeah, if that's what they wind up doing, that's an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
I would not necessarily want to see these two guys at Clash at the Castle just because you don't want a split crowd. I think you want the entire audience booing the hell out of Drew, and you run into a couple of risk factors, obviously, because he's sort of the home country, the home UK crowd who's going to want to cheer the hell out of Drew McIntyre is one thing. The second piece is that Punk swing and a miss on Raw did not do him any favors, and we know that Drew can be wildly entertaining. So unless we're trying to do a double turn, this may be just a tease. And hopefully we don't actually see where this is going to wind up. But, you know, they're smarter men than I. And Dom, you are a far smarter producer than I am.
Oh,
you produce a lot of great shows. I produce zero. So why don't you tell us what some of the other places the fine folks can see and hear you?
Sure, yeah. You can catch up FullHorsemanNetwork.com. We have Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne, Magnum TA. We're talking who killed WCW. What was the culprit? Who was the culprit? Magnum gives very good perspective, kind of like really lays out some good thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, check out RVDTV.com. Today, this morning, the debut episode of Right Down the Middle with Bill Alfonso, me and Bill and Fonzie, we talk a lot about what we have planned for the show. And then on top of it, we talk about Paul Heyman's WWE induction speech and him getting into the business as a fan and everything like that. It's really, really fascinating. First conversation. We got a lot of good stuff planned for that. He's got some great giveaways planned for that. He was showing me some stuff he's willing to give away, and it's crazy like what he's got. So check it out. Go to RVDTV.com. It just dropped this morning. So take a look at that. And
I'm excited to listen to that that Magnum one because, I mean, people don't really know this. Like, Magnum was part of the WCW infrastructure for a long time. Mm-hmm. He did commentary work in the office, so he's seen a lot, and I'll be really curious to hear what he's got to say. We've got another podcast that Dom is our producer. Myself, Dan St. Germain, Mike Lawrence, and Scott Chaplin do a show called Working Stiff, used to be called Wrestle Roast, and we picked the week of the biggest roast of the year to be like, yeah, we're no longer in the roast format, but it's basically just us roasting everything there is to do with professional wrestling, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great show. There's a real deep archive in there. We did over 100 roasts that are available on Spotify. We're not smart enough to put them behind a paywall. So they're just all there, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get them, which is where you can get every episode of Rumor and Innuendo, and you can hear the entire saga of us trying to get the Woo Energy drink many, many months ago. But you should be here every Monday through Friday live. As Alt Jake says, we're live, pal. We are live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on WWCreative_ISHX account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, the Podcast Heat X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible. The SE Scoops X account, as well as on YouTube, on ad-free shows and Rumor and Innuendo. So on behalf of the bandanaed Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
I got to find some swizzle sticks. Need a little swizzle sticks for my coffee.